to learn. Hilchot halachot hatzrichot lahen leida utan. The laws that they need to know. Question, of course, is how are you going to define that? Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Says Rav Shnei Zalman of Liadi. Kamo dinei nida utvila umelicha v'isur yichud. Right? You got those? Laws of nida, of tvila, of immersion, of melicha, of salting, of the prohibition against isolation with a man other than her husband. Ukayotze bahem, others like that. V'chol mitzvot asei she'ein azman grama. And all of the mitzvot asei she'ein azman grama. What is that number? How many mitzvot asei are there? 248. How many are they exempt from? Approximately 7. No, because the other... eight. 8 on that side. 8. So 8 from 240. 240 of the mitzvot asei, they have to study. Chayavot. V'chol mitzvot lo ta'asei shel Torah v'shel divrei sofrim shehin musharot bahen ka'anashim. And all of the mitzvot lo ta'asei, both the Doraita ones and the Dorabanan ones, in which they are obligated like men, which means of the 365, they are obligated to study. How many of them? 359. So you, in those last few phrases, you can see what Rav Shnei Zalman of Liadi was doing, right? That is, when I discussed this with a dear Chabad friend of mine, he said, "Well, you want to know why he said that? You had to know his mother-in-law." But be that as it may, Shulchan Aruch Harav essentially records a description of this synthesized position, right? That is, it's patur mutar, it's discretionary, right? No isur, no chiyuv, but there is a constraint of Rabbi Eliezer. But in Shulchan Aruch Harav, the constraint of Rabbi Eliezer applies to what? To the 14 mitzvot from which they are exempt. But of course, on the other hand, in order for them to know that they are exempt from those 14, what would they have to do? They would have to learn the Torah related to those 14. So it's very difficult to understand what exactly is omitted in the final position of Shulchan Aruch Harav. And in his position, having gotten past the constraint limited to Gemara, in the area of Chiyuv, women are obligated in everything, including Gemara. Which indeed, eventually, as we will see, became the clear and explicit position of his seventh generation descendant, the late Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. Okay, good. There were, however, majority of Achronim, the majority of authorities during this whole 400-year period of time, were not quite as machmir as the Shulchan Aruch Harav. They were indeed extraordinarily... They were extraordinarily makil. They said, women are not obligated to study any of this stuff. You know, they can go shopping all day long, right? And Shulchan Aruch Harav said, women go shopping all day long. They are obligated to study Torah, right? Have you already studied all 500 and, all 599 mitzvot that are applicable to you? If not, get into the basement and study Torah. What do you mean you have something else to do? You have a mitzvah that occupies you, that engages you. That's what you have to do. But, as I said, the vast majority of other achronim were much more makil in this particular matter. And therefore, by the beginning of the late 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, the educational system for Jewish women could not be described because it did not exist. And it was into that setting that Sarah Schneer entered. And given the threat that had been created by the emancipation and the gradual integration of Jews into Western, including Eastern European cultures, she desired to establish schools in which women could be taught Torah. And she shopped around for support amongst the rabbis. And the vast majority of Chachamim with whom she consulted dismissed her. and said, it is not the business of women to be taught Torah. She found barely two supporters. The Belzer Rebbe in the Hasidic community and the Chavetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan in the Litvisher community, in the Lithuanian community. Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan wrote his opinion on this matter, and it was the opinion that I described to you earlier today. Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan wrote on a certain level movingly. I mean, I was a little bit unfair to him this morning, but only a little bit. He writes as follows. Nire, dechol zeh, dafka bezmanim shelfaneinu. It appears to me, he says, that all of this notion of the restriction of women in learning Torah, that only applied in previous times. Shekol echad hayadar b'mekom avotav, when every child lived in their parents' homes, v'kabalat ha'avot haya chazak ma'od, and the transmitted knowledge from parents was very powerful, yisal kol echad ve'echad, lehitnaheg b'derech shedarchu avotav, to follow in the paths that his parents had trod before. Ukamamara katuv sha'alavicha v'yagedcha, bazeh, under those circumstances, hayinu yecholim lomar, we could then say, shalom tilmod Torah, that you should not teach Torah to daughters. V'tismoch b'hanhaga al avoteha hayesharim, and she should rely for her instruction on her righteous ancestors. Aval ka'et, but nowadays, ba'avonotenu harabim, due to our many sins, shekabalat ha'avot mitrofeif ma'od ma'od, transmission from parents is very weakened. Gam matzui she'enu dar b'mkom avotav, even happens that women are not living in their parental home, klal. Ubefrat otan, shemlamdin atzmam k'tav v'lashon ha'anim, and particularly those who go so far as to even learn foreign languages. Bivadai mitzvah rabal l'lamdam, it is clearly a great mitzvah to teach them, chumash, v'gam neviyim uketuvim, u'musarei chazal, and the ethics of the sages, kagon mesechet avot, like tractate avot, v'sefer menorat hama'or, a great medieval ethical text, u'kadoma, and other texts like that. Kedei sheyit amet etzlam inyan emunateinu hakadosha, in order to see to it that our true faith is rooted deeply in them. The Elohachi, if we don't do this, alul sheyasuru legamri miderech Hashem, they are likely to depart entirely from the path of God. V'yavru al kol yisodei hadat chas v'shalom, and they will, God forbid, then violate all of the foundations of our religion. That is, the Chavetz Chaim essentially took a concessional approach. Of course, you know, here it sounds very strange to hear the master of halakha of the first half of the 20th century say, well, that was fine back in the old days, guys. But, you know, things have changed. It's really rough nowadays. Can't do that anymore. How could the Chavetz Chaim possibly even use that language? Well, the reason he could use that language is because he was not talking about either chiyuv or isur. He was talking about what? Counsel. He was talking about counsel within the realm of discretion. And when you're talking about counsel within the realm of discretion, you have a responsibility to make sure that the counsel is as valid today as it was 1800 years ago. Because if you don't bother asking whether the counsel is as valid today as it was 1800 years ago, you're going to be giving yourself all sorts of very strange medical remedies that might end you up in the biggest hospitals in the city. Because there are limits to counsel. And one of the fundamental limits to counsel is the need for constant evaluation as to the continued efficacy and benefit of the counsel. So when the Chafetz Chaim confronts this piece of counsel, he says, look, it seems to me that we are at a stage in our relationship to Western civilization in which we follow this counsel, we will get wiped out. We simply can't. It's bad advice for us right now. May have been good advice then. Maybe someday it'll become good advice again. But right now, this is bad advice for us. So we can't follow this advice. So we need to at least depart from it as little as necessary. I mean, after all, it's still rabbinic advice. We'll depart from it as little as necessary to assure that we're going to, you know, guarantee that women will get what they need in terms of the study of Torah. That approach, the approach of the Chafetz Chaim, this concessional approach, was essentially the dominant approach which existed then from the early 1900s until the last third of the 1900s. In that last third of the 1900s, three new approaches emerged, which I referred to briefly this morning. One was the approach of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik Zatzal. Rabbi Soloveitchik, who at the time already in the 1940s of the founding of the Maimonides School in Boston, initiated a program in Talmud at the school in which both men and women studied, male and female students studied Talmud together, the same curriculum, the identical curriculum, initially even in the same classroom. Rabbi Soloveitchik's justification for that, which he later explicated in a variety of ways, at one point he explicated in the following manner. He said, yes, you're right. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're just not obligated. Of course, it's not asur, and you've got this little piece of advice there related to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but that has all to do with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I want to talk to you, he said, about a different mitzvah. And that's the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem, the mitzvah of loving God. Because the mitzvah of loving God is a completely separate mitzvah. And one which is mandatory both for men and for women. And that mitzvah, according to the Rambam, requires the following. In the Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvah Gimel, says the Rambam, Hi shetzivanu be'ahavato yitaleh. In this mitzvah we are commanded to love God. V'zeh shenachshuv v'nitbonein. That means that we have to think and meditate on b'mitzvotav u'ma'amarav, his commandments, his statements, u'pu'ulotav, his actions, ad shenasigehu, until we comprehend God, v'nehene b'hasagato b'tachlit ha'ana'a, and thereby achieve ultimate understanding and pleasure from that understanding, v'zoti ha'ahava ha'mechuyevet. This is the obligatory state of ahava. That means, said Rabbi Soloveitchik, that for any particular Jew, male or female, there is a duty to achieve ahavat Hashem. And if for any one of them, that achievement of ahavat Hashem can best be gained through the study of Torah, then it must be gained through the study of Torah. It's not simply voluntary. It's obligatory. So you'll say, he said, but they're patur from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Sure, they're patur from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they are obligated in the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. And therefore they've got to go out there and study Torah because they're bound by the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. Lubavitcher Rebbe, as I suggested, based in part on the position of his great-great-great-great-grandfather, and indeed so he explicitly stated in the volume of Tshuvot that were published in his honor for his 80th birthday, says, look, where there is an established minhag not to teach Gemara to women, says then, you know, you should adhere to the minhag. But if there is no nohag kavua, if there is no fixed minhag in a particular locality, yesh linhog matim lepsak din, then you should act in accordance with the law. What law? Hamuva b'shulchan aruch l'rabbeinu hazakein hilchot Talmud Torah sof perak aleph banogea l'halachot shegam nashim chayavot l'lmod. That is, then you should act like my ancestor taught. Namely, you teach them everything that you can. So choose of the Masechtot of Talmud, choose a Masechta that deals with such matters, which means choose anything from Sefer Zraim, anything from Sefer Moed, anything from Sefer Nezikin, anything from Sefer Nashim, maybe you'll have to skip a little bit in Kudshim and maybe skip a little bit in Tarug. And in fact, in the course of a conversation, in a fascinating way, between the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Belzer Rebbe, there was a young Belzer Rebbe in Tavshin Mem Aleph, so that was, 25 years ago. So 25 years ago, there was a new young Belzer Rebbe, and he came to the United States. He met with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and their meeting was taped. And in this meeting, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to the Belzer Rebbe, "Tell me something." He said, "Do you have regular your yeshivot for men in Israel? Do you have regular sedarim and chassidut?" They regularly engage in the study of Hasidut. And the Belzer Rebbe said, no, they just learn straight Torah. They don't learn Hasidut. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, "You know, you're making a bad mistake." He says, "If you want them to be Hasidim, then they have to learn Hasidus." And he then went on for a couple of pages length about the importance of teaching Hasidus in a systematic way. And then he says to the Belzer Rebbe, "And then your mosdot of Torah for women, do you teach Yirat Hashem? Do you teach Yirat Shamayim?" Bill's Rebbe is sort of taken aback, and on the tape you can hear, and he almost chuckles, and he says, "I mean, teach Yirat Shamayim? I mean, we teach Torah, we don't teach Yirat Shamayim." So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says to him, "You're making a mistake. If you don't teach them Yirat Shamayim, they won't be Yirat Shamayim. I mean, how do you expect them to become Yirat Shamayim? You don't teach them to become Yirat Shamayim." And he then goes on at length about the importance of Yirat Shamayim. So the Belzer Rebbe is getting sort of anxious about this, and he says, "Well, what do you mean? How do you teach someone Yirat Shamayim?" So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, "How do you teach them Yirat Shamayim? You teach them Yirat Shamayim by teaching them Torah. And when you've taught them all of the Torah you think that they can absorb, then you teach them more Torah. And when you think they've absorbed all of that, you know what you do next? You teach them even more Torah than that." And the Belzer Rebbe says, "I mean, the way you're talking about this, well, you can't mean it. I mean, someone might get the idea that you think, ha-ha, we should teach them even Gemara, ha-ha." Says Lubavitcher Rebbe, "What do you mean, ha-ha? Of course you should teach them Gemara. Of course you should teach them Gemara," he says. "How do you expect them to understand Torah if they don't learn Gemara?" Says, "And look, you have to understand," says Lubavitcher Rebbe, "this is a mitzvah. Yirat Hashem is a mitzvah. This is not just stam geret. Right? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's in fact the very mitzvah just before the previous one. The next one, mitzvah dalet in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot. Shetzivanu v'hamin yirato yitaleh. Right? To achieve yirat Hashem. To achieve yirat Hashem. To achieve a sense of fear and awe of God and submission to the authority of God." And Lubavitcher Rebbe then goes on to speak at great length about how, you know, people are getting filled up with all sorts of crazy ideas in this world nowadays. And you know, it's really, you have to teach them Torah. So finally, the Belzer Rebbe gets in a couple of words edgewise, and he says, but Rebbe Eliezer says, kolam lameid bitei Torah limda tiflus. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, "Don't worry about Rebbe Eliezer." He says, "I have a different pshat in what Rebbe Eliezer meant." What's his pshat and what Rebbe Eliezer meant? He says, what Rebbe Eliezer was saying was as follows. He says, if a woman's mind and heart are so filled with Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem that to try to pack a piece of text into it would drive out Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, then teaching her Torah is wrong to do. But if her head is filled with tiflus, then you're obligated to fill her head with Torah instead." And he then goes on for a couple of pages to describe young women he met with whose heads were filled with tiflus. And they were, at least some of them. What Lubavitcher Rebbe was doing was fundamentally the same approach that Rav Soloveitchik had been taking. And in fact, when I read this transcript, I first read the transcript, and my Lubavitch friend who gave me the transcript, I sort of rushed back to him and I said, are you sure this is accurate? So he said, I'll get you a tape of it. So 2 days later, he showed up in my office, and he apologizes. He says, I couldn't get the video. For some reason, the video was not available, but I got an audio tape for you. I had the audio tape, and I played the audio tape, and the audio tape, in fact, said exactly what the transcript said. This was the position of the Lord Church. So at that, some weeks later, I had the occasion to meet and speak with Rav Soloveitchik, with Rav Yehuda Soloveitchik, and I asked him whether he was aware of the position that the Lubavitcher Rebbe had taken. So Rav Yosher Ber said, it's old Torah already. Says he's known for a long time that the Rebbe, you know, holds this position. He says, but, says, watch and see, I'll bet you that he will not be able to implement it fully, even in his own institutions. Which is, of course, what happened. That is, there are some Chabad advanced seminaries for women where Talmud is studied regularly, and there are others where they do not study Talmud. The third element in this position, and with that I'll end, I have 2 more minutes, I need to leave time for questions, is just the position of Rav Lichtenstein. It's a fascinating addendum to this. Rav Lichtenstein takes the essentially similar position, says, of course, women are not forbidden to study Torah, of course, women are not obligated to study Torah, it's within the realm of discretion, and you know, but you know what? That's as far as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is concerned. But there's another mitzvah of the Torah. The other mitzvah of the Torah is not to forget Maimar Har Sinai, which according to the Ramban is another mitzvah lo taseh. It's a prohibition. You're not allowed to forget Maimar Har Sinai. Wait a second. Were you there physically? This body, was it there? Maybe your neshama was there. That's what Hazal said. But this body was not there. So how can you not forget Maimar Har Sinai if you didn't remember it? Says the Ramban, well, what that means is, as Rav Lichtenstein explicates it, what that means is that every Jew is obligated to make himself or herself into a link in the eternal chain of Torah from the moment of Sinai until the end of days. We, every one of us Jews, has a responsibility to receive the Torah from the past and to transmit it into the future. And the mode of transmission is through who we become. We have to forge ourselves into instruments of transmission of Torah to the next generation. Said Rav Lichtenstein, there's only one way to do that, and that's by the study of Torah. So, if you are bound by the mitzvot, and you are bound not to forget Maimar Har Sinai, then you are bound to make yourself into a recipient of the Torah from the time of Sinai to your moment, and then to integrate it into yourself so that you can in turn transmit it to the next generation. In this manner, I believe that what the three of them have done is created a radically altered atmosphere in regard to the question of the study of Torah by women, in which study of Torah by women is no longer a matter for apology. It's no longer a matter for concession. It is a fundamental duty that rests upon every one of us as Jews. Alavai men would learn Torah with the sensibility that what they needed to do was to form, through that study, to form their souls in love of God and in awe of God and in the formation of their personalities as having the capacity to transmit Torah to the next generation. Because that's the challenge that we all share as Jews if we accept the responsibility to accept that challenge and change the whole of the future of Judaism. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I apologize in the name of the organizers, there is no time for questions from the public now. We have to move on to the next question. But on your behalf, I would like to thank Rabbi Berman for founding exposition of how we got to where we are today. And I guess to ask in a general way, but not expecting an answer right now, if this is the truth, how come nobody knows about it?